Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, March 19th, 2023, Romans.
All right, we have a couple of announcements before we get started. For those who signed up to help with craft preparation for Vacation Bible School, there will be a meeting in the big classroom over here after the second class this morning. So that's the first thing. And also, the evangelism team will be going to Indian Springs on the Saturday before Easter. And this will be a time of evangelism. Be sure to pray for the evangelism team that they're channels of God's grace, tools in His hands to be used by Him, that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately, and that God would draw by His hand of grace the people in Indian Springs community who are supposed to be there. And also, we need help to prepare something that will go in the treat bags for the children at the Easter party in Indian Springs. So two parts. Those who signed up to help with craft preparation for Vacation Bible School, and help to prepare something that will go in the treat bag for the children at the Easter party at Indian Springs. Our two sons went to high school at Indian Springs. They were homeschooled here. We were living in the church at the time. And we homeschooled them while they were here. And I would take them over to the park, and that was our PE. And I'd be all-time quarterback, and they were the receivers. And I taught them all how to run a route correctly. And well, one day we're in here and they go, "Dad," and I go, "Yes." "We're tired of you being all-time quarterback. We want to play real football." And our homeschooling, at least on my part, Debbie was teaching the English. I was doing math, and I'm an English major, not a math major. And I thought, you know what? It's time for you probably to go to school. And so they attended Indian Springs High School, and it only has an enrollment of about 100 students. And they not only competed in all of the sports, but then Debbie wound up being a teacher out at Indian Springs. And the track coach called me here at the church and asked me if I would be his assistant on the track team, because he didn't know anything about hurdling or jumping events. And I said, "Well, first and foremost, I'm a pastor, and that comes first, and I can organize my life, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time, maybe an hour or two out there and work with the kids." And so I got to teach my own boys how to run the hurdles. And I thought that would never happen in a million years. I'm a pastor. Who in the public school system would ask a pastor to come out and be an assistant track coach? But Tim Daly did, who is a believer in Jesus Christ, and I went out, and the boys were the state champions in the high hurdles and the low hurdles, triple jump, long jump, and it was fantastic to teach them all. And We only had 15 kids on our track team. But we would compete against the 1A school. Indian Springs was 1A school. We would compete against the 4A schools, which had an enrollment of 2,000. Indian Springs had an enrollment of 100. We competed against those teams and we beat them. We would get in track meets with about four different schools. We'd be the only 1A school, and we would beat the 4A schools, the 3A schools. In fact, one coach came up to me and he says, How can you come out with 15 athletes and beat? We have 200 on our team. 200 track athletes on the team. How can you beat us with 15? Magic. And so it was a blessing for me to be able to coach my son, not only my son, but we went to the state track meet, and in the high hurdles and in the intermediate hurdles, Indian Springs took first, second, third, and fourth. First, second, third, and fourth in the highs. First, second, third, and fourth in the intermediates. And that was really fun. And who were the guys running the hurdles? Well, I had a guy who was a lineman on the football team. He was one of the hurdlers. He qualified to go to state. He was the fourth one. And I worked with him and worked with him and worked with him. And I was more proud of him making it to state and then finished fourth at state. And we had one fellow who was also a linebacker on the football team, a Samoan, great big guy, muscles all over. He was a triple jumper. He was an awesome triple jumper. We got him out and everybody got out of the way when he came down the runway. And ever since then, the community out at Indian Springs have, they knew I was a pastor. And they have invited us out again and again and again to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole community at Indian Springs. And that's a blessing that only God can do. And so if you can pray for the evangelism team going to Indian Springs and then the help that they need preparing some treat bags. And also, very important, today is Irene. Irene, it's her birthday today. And I have to tell you this anecdote. I came to church on a Sunday morning and there were some people in sleeping bags and tents out in front of the front doors where you all were supposed to come in. And I woke them up and said, now we're going to have church this morning and you're going to have to pack up and move out so that they can get in because they come in, they run over people when they come in here. And so I was waiting for them. They got packed up and the gal came over. She says, I'm Indian and you're racist. You hate Indians. I said, no, you ought to come to class. We have the Navajo Nation in our church. So she goes, what? You don't. I said, yes, you ought to come in. You ought to try it sometime. You might even hear how much God loves you and what Christ did for you on the cross. So, happy birthday. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Because of this, just as by the agency of one man, Adam, sin, and it's in the singular, the sin nature, entered into the world, and spiritual death through sin, and in this way, spiritual death spread to all mankind, to every member of the human race, because all sinned when Adam sinned. And now that brings us to the great parenthesis. Verse 13, that is, before the Mosaic Law was given, personal sin kept on being in the world. But personal sin is not imputed when the Mosaic Law did not exist. Personal sin is not imputed to us. It was reserved by God the Father until the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, and then God the Father gathered up the sins of all the world, poured them out on Christ, judged them in Christ once and for all. Verse 14. Nevertheless, spiritual death ruled from Adam to Moses, even over the ones who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, Adam's original sin. Who? Adam is a type of the one who was destined to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that word type is the Greek word tupos. T-U-P-O-S. Tupos. And tupos means that the first Adam is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam. While the first Adam was created perfect, and the last Adam was born perfect, the synonymous parallelism ends right there. The objective of this paragraph, the great paragraph, verses 14 to 21, is to emphasize the contrastive parallelism between the first Adam and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam is the head of the fallen race of mankind, because spiritual death is derived from his original sin. By contrast, Christ is the head of the redeemed race, since he is the source of their redemption. So in Romans 5, 14 to 21, Paul is contrasting the disobedience of the first Adam, resulting in spiritual death, with the obedience of the last Adam, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, resulting in salvation and justification. The first Adam brought condemnation to the human race, while the last Adam brought salvation to the human race. Now both the first Adam and the last Adam, they both had a volition, free will. The first Adam chose to sin, resulting in spiritual death. The last Adam chose not to sin, resulting in impeccability, and therefore qualification to go to the cross and provide salvation. The first Adam is the author of spiritual death, while the last Adam is the author of eternal salvation and justification. Now, Romans 5, verse 14 brought us to a study of the doctrine of the virgin birth, which we studied in detail last week. Now, we go on in verse 15. And in verse 15, we begin the contrastive parallelism between the first Adam and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 15. Now, I always start with the King James Version. I almost shudder to start. The translation is so horrible, and you know, you ought to read that in the King James and tell me what you how does this really help your heart? But not as the offense, so also the free gift. For if through the offense of the one many are dead, much more the grace of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not only these things, by one that sinned, if the gift for the judgment was by one condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now, it might sound like, what in the hell is going on there? But I can tell you, you can relax. What is presented here in the God-breathed scriptures in the Koine Greek by God the Holy Spirit is clear and lucid and fantastic. So that's my job, is to communicate the Word of God so that you can know exactly what God is saying here, and have an opportunity to believe it and grow up. So, we have the conjunction Allah plus the objective negative uk plus the comparative particle host plus the noun paroptoma. Now, Allah this is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. It is correctly translated, but and it introduces this great contrastive parallelism in this paragraph. Allah sets up a contrast. It sets up a contrast, one, between the first Adam and the last Adam. A contrast between the first Adam and the last Adam. Secondly, it sets up a contrast between the transgression of the first Adam with the free gift of the last Adam. Contrast between the transgression of the first Adam with the free gift of the last Adam. And it sets up a contrast between spiritual death with salvation and justification. So Allah, that conjunction of contrast introduces this great contrastive parallelism in Romans 5:15 through 21. The objective negative ook. Now, ook can be either presented this way, O-U-C-H, that's ook, not ouch. It also can be just O-U, oo or ook. But this is the objective negative. It slams the door. There is also another negative, may. But we don't have may, we have ook. Ook slams the door, and the comparative particle hos is also with ook. H long O S, hos. And Arnton Gingrich tells us that when the objective negative ook is combined with the comparative particle hos, then you translate it, does not proceed. So the comparative particle hos indicates the manner in which something proceeds, but with the objective negative ook, it indicates the manner in which something does not proceed. And then we have paroptoma. Now you're used to seeing hamartia, sin. This is paroptoma, P-A-R-A-P-T, long O-M-A. Paroptoma refers to sin. It is a literally means the false step or a transgression. It also refers to sin. And here it is used for Adam's original sin. Literally, this says, but not as that transgression, the original sin of Adam. But not as that transgression. Then we have so also is the free gift. And this is the adverb hutos with the conjunction kai plus the noun charisma. Now, hutos kai. And those of you who have been here many moons, there's the letter H there, H-O-U-T, long O-S, and then K-A-I, hutos kai. Many times, this is literally translated, so also. But here, it should be translated, but the grace gift, in fact, stands in contrast to the transgression. Charisma C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A, charisma. A couple of things on the word charisma. First of all, charisma literally means a gift. It means a gift. Two, it comes from the noun charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. That is the word grace. So charisma comes from the noun charis, grace. Three. So charisma is a grace gift. A gracious gift. A grace gift, a gracious gift. Four, it is a gift that is freely and graciously given. A gift that is freely and graciously given. Five, this is God the Father's gift of eternal life to the whole world. The Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation work on the cross, Operation Grace. And that's what we have in our little gospel booklet that has gone all over the world. thousands and thousands and thousands of them all over the world. God's gift of love to mankind. God's gift of love to the world. Jesus Christ. So this is God the Father's gift of impersonal love to the whole world, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His salvation work on the cross, Operation Grace. So literally, if you're just following the order of the words in the Greek, literally this says, but not as that transgression, the original sin of Adam, so also that grace gift, the salvation work of Christ on the cross. But Arnton Gingrich tells us in the Greek lexicon that this is an idiom, and it should be translated, but the grace gift, in fact, stands in contrast to the transgression. And that's how this should be translated. But the grace gift, in fact, stands in contrast to the transgression. So that's how it should be translated. That's how we're going to translate it. But the grace gift, God's gift of love to the world, Jesus Christ, and His salvation work on the cross. But the grace gift, in fact, stands in contrast to the transgression. One, paroptima, transgression, sin, belongs to the first Adam. The Greek word paroptima, transgression, sin, belongs to the first Adam. Charisma, grace gift, belongs to the last Adam. Paroptima, sin, transgression, belongs to the first Adam. Charisma, grace gift, belongs to the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Two, the first Adam brought condemnation to the entire human race, while the last Adam makes salvation available to the entire human race. Unlimited atonement. When Christ was on the cross, it wasn't just the sins of a few people that were poured out on Christ. It was the sins of the whole world. Unlimited atonement. The sins of the whole world were held and reserved by God the Father until Christ was on the cross. And then He imputed the sins of the world to Christ on the cross, judged those sins in Christ on the cross, so that the entire world is savable, has the potential of eternal salvation. It's simply a matter of believing in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So the first Adam brought condemnation to the entire human race, while the last Adam makes salvation available to the entire human race. Three, one man, the first Adam, brought condemnation to all mankind. One man, the first Adam, brought condemnation to all mankind, while one man, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, make salvation available to all mankind. Contrastive parallelism. One man, the first Adam, brought condemnation to all mankind, while one man, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, makes salvation available to all mankind. But it must be appropriated by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Four, because of the first Adam, the justice of God condemns man. Romans 5:12. Because of the first Adam, the justice of God condemns man. That's Romans 5:12. Because of this, just as by the agency of one man, Adam, sin, the sin nature, entered into the world, and spiritual death through sin, and in this way, spiritual death spread to all mankind, every member of the human race, because all sinned when Adam sinned. So because of the first Adam, the justice of God condemns man, Romans 5:12. But because of the last Adam, the justice of God provides the grace gift of eternal salvation to anyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ. But because of the last Adam, the justice of God provides the grace gift of eternal salvation to anyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Five, while the human race is born in Adam, the first Adam, that's physical birth, those who appropriate the grace gift of Christ by faith in Him are born again in Christ. So while the human race is born in Adam, the first Adam, at physical birth, those who appropriate the grace gift, charisma, the grace gift of Christ, how? By faith in Jesus Christ, are born again in Christ. So we are born in Adam, the first Adam, physical birth, but we are born again in Christ, who, when you appropriate the grace gift of Christ by faith in Him. So the corrected translation, but the grace gift, in fact, stands in contrast to the transgression. See, I told you it was going to, you're going to make a lot of sense here. But the grace gift, in fact, stands in contrast to the transgression. And then we have, for if through the offense of one, many are dead. We have the postpositive conjunction gar plus the conditional particle ae plus the dative plural of paroptima once again with a definite article plus the genitive singular of the numeral hase, not ace. There's an ace and there's a hase. You see, if this little mark there is going this way, then that's E-I-S. Now, if this mark is going this way, it's breathing out over the word, then it's H-E-I-S. This is the preposition. Preposition to or into. This is a numeral. The numeral one. So we have the genitive singular of haste, the numeral, plus the nominative plural of the adjective polus with the definite article, plus the aorist active indicative of apothenesco. The postpositive conjunction gar. G-A-R. See, God the Holy Spirit was a pirate. Gar. Four. And this is an explanatory gar. It explains this contrastive parallelism in more detail. And then we have the conditional particle A-E with the indicative. A plus the indicative. There are four class conditions in the Koine Greek. First class condition, if something is true, and it is. A plus the indicative introduces a first class condition. If something is true, and it is. Second class condition, you add a negative in there, if something is true, but it's not. Both of those have A plus the indicative, one without the negative and one with the negative. Then you have aeon, this is still the conditional particle, aeon plus the subjunctive. When you have aeon plus the subjunctive, that introduces a third class condition. Third class condition, probability. If, maybe you will, maybe you won't. And then there's a fourth class condition, if, I wish you were, but you're not. That's the fourth class condition. So there are four class conditions in the Greek. Isn't that great? How much? That is way better than English. Somebody can say to you, if, you don't know, you ought to ask him, is that first class condition if? Second class condition if? Am I boring you? Third class condition if? This is the Word of God. This is God the Holy Spirit communicating absolute truth. Fourth class condition. So when you come in and say if to me, I might call you on it. Which class condition are we talking about here? Well, here we have the first class condition. If something is true, and it is. In other words, if by the transgression of one man, Adam, the many died, spiritual death, first class condition, and they did die, spiritual death, the entire human race is in the status of spiritual death at the moment of physical birth. And then we have the noun paroptima, repeated again, transgression, offense. This is the original sin of Adam. And then the dative case is the dative of means. For if by means of the transgression, for if by means of the transgression, and then the genitive singular, haste to henos. That's ace plus the genitive singular of in the genitive case, and it's to henos, of the one, Adam. So we have the one, and that's haste plus the genitive article, genitive singular of the article. To henos is the of the one. Then we have that contrasted with hoi polloi. Hoi polloi. H-O-I-P-O-L-L-O-I. Hoi polloi. And hoi polloi is the many. And the many, the hoi polloi, is the entire human race. And then we have the verb apothnesko. Looks like that in the Greek. A-P-O-T-H-N. Long E, S, K, long O. Apothnesko. All right. Let's get a couple of things on this verb. First of all, literally it means to die. It refers to physical death. However, many times, point two, it is used figuratively and is used for spiritual death. And that's how it's used here. Three, the imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed old sin nature at physical birth, resulting in spiritual death. The imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed old sin nature at physical birth results in spiritual death. We all come into the world physically alive, but spiritually dead. Four, by means of one man's transgression, Adam's original sin, the entire human race is born in spiritual death. So by means of one man, to henos. By means of one man's transgression, Adam's original sin, the hoi polloi, the entire human race is born in spiritual death. So five, the effect of Adam's disastrous transgression was that the hoi polloi, the many, the whole human race is born in spiritual death and under condemnation, and that's Romans 5:12. So the effect of the one man, Adam's disastrous transgression, was that the many, hoi polloi, the whole human race is born in spiritual death and under condemnation. So, verse 15 now sounds like this. But the grace gift, in fact, stands in contrast to the transgression. For if by means of the transgression of the one, Adam, the many, all mankind, died spiritual death, first class condition, and they did die, the universality of spiritual death at physical birth. But the grace gift, in fact, stands in contrast to the transgression. For if by means of the transgression of the one, Adam, the many, the hoi polloi, all mankind, died spiritual death, first class condition, and they did die, the universality of spiritual death in the human race. And then we have our phrase, we've had this many times now, much more the grace of God. Paulo malon he charis tu theou. This is the dative singular of polus with the adverb malon plus the nominative singular of charis with the definite article plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Paulo Malone, we've had this now in our much mores many times. You are familiar with this one. Paulo Malone. P-O-L-L long O. And then that's in the dative case when you have that iota subscript like that. And then M-A-L-L-O-N, Paulo Malone. And Paulo Malone is a very important phrase. It means much more, to a much greater degree. Much more, to a much greater degree. He charis tou theou. And we all look at this. And thank God every day, again and again. The definite article, hey, charis, then the genitive case of the article two, and theou for genitive of theos. He charis tou theou, the grace of the God, the living and true God. The grace of God. Well, we all are totally blessed, encapsulated by He charis tou theou, the grace of God. And that means, grace means we don't earn it, we don't deserve it. When we were at our absolute worst, spiritually dead, totally depraved, God loved us with virtue love, impersonal love for the whole world. He loved us with impersonal love that sent His Son, His eternal Son, from heaven to earth to take on true humanity, to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. God did that for us, and we didn't earn or deserve anything. And after he provided that grace gift of his son on the cross, he did that because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would like to see every member of the human race in heaven with him. And that's why all the sins of the world were poured out on Christ and judged. And if anyone winds up not in heaven, it is because from their own free will, they said no to the grace gift that God the Father has for them, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. God the Father is holding out a gift to the whole world, a grace gift, a charisma, the grace gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And for anyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ, they have the gift of eternal life. They have the imputation of divine righteousness. And they will live with God forever and ever and ever. He charis tou theou, the grace of God. Well, we're going to take a break right there with the grace of God. We'll come back in a few with part 2.